Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glorious day. Today would be a wonderful day to be up north watching a football game at 6 below 0. When I heard that on the news last night, I thought, man, if they'll go watch a football game at 6 below 0 outside, I wonder what it would take to get them in church. Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, all I got to say about Dave, every child should be so lucky to have a dad like that.
Amen.
Y'all can all agree with that, right? A man of God that teaches his children the principles of the kingdom. Amen. And the master shows up to confirm everything he said in his word. I just stand in awe, you know, of those little children. You know, in fact, I stand in awe as we had New Year's dinner. The other day, I thought to myself, here we are living out here in like a commune, if you want to say it this way. My son and his wife and their four children just live right over there in that two-story house. Dave and his wife and his five children live right here within this same building with us. Me and Cheryl live here. Pat and Eric live here. Sharon lives here about 3 days a week. Rosemary lives here 1 or 2 days a week, depends on how things go. And do you know that we never have a crossword? I mean, isn't that amazing? You have so many people living in the same house, and we eat together, we play together, we love together, and we just have a good time, and we talk about Jesus together. Now, can you imagine a better deal than that? I can't. You know, I just stand in awe of how blessed I am to have all these people living here with me, and we never have a crossword spoken, and we do everything to help each other because we all realize we are working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And our master lives in this place with us. And we know that. And Dave knows that, and that's why whenever he can pray and ask his children, what do you want, when little Joshua said, I want the blood to stop now. And Dave agreed, and wow, and the blood stopped. But as he was talking about that, I was thinking about when I tore my hand up so bad and the blood was just everywhere. I mean, you know, I got my hand in a door closure of a roll-up door, and it literally tore it all to pieces. You saw it, didn't you, Kim? It was tore up, wasn't it? Yeah, it was tore all to pieces. And to think that I trusted God totally, completely, didn't take any kind of medicine, not even an Anacin or aspirin, nothing. My first statement to the Lord was, Lord, please take away the pain. And guess what he did? He took away the pain. I didn't have any pain. And then I came over and Cheryl dressed it and cleaned it up and washed it up with hydrogen peroxide or whatever that stuff is, and then bandaged it up, and I went back to work. And within a week, the bottom three fingers were healed up, and within about 2 or 3 weeks, the top one, which had tore up so bad, was completely healed. And all we did, in fact, one of the men that goes to church here told me, he's a doctor, and that Sunday he was here, and I unrolled it and let him look at it, and he said, technically speaking, my hand should have had probably 200 stitches in it. That's how bad it was tore up. Yeah, he said, at least probably 200 stitches. You should have had stitches down inside, you know, to pull it together, and then all that. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not going to have any. I just trusted Jesus totally. And for those of you that have seen my hand, you really can't tell that anything ever happened to my hand. If you want to see it, I'll come back and show it to you how good a work Jesus does. But he does good work. Amen. When you trust him. So we live in a supernatural place here with the Lord, and I love to see the Lord show up and do these kind of things for us. But everybody that's here, you know, there's others that work here in the daytime, you know, that doesn't live with us, but they're all here. But, you know, I think about, you know, we as a family, sometimes we all get together, all of us, you know, even the ones that don't live right here, but live right here close. And we still have meals together and we have fun together. And it's just so much fun living and loving together as Christians. Now then, before we get into the scripture today, I want to tell you that I do watch a little secular news once in a while to see what's going on. So this last week, since it's a new year, and I don't remember what city it was, whether it was Flower Mound or Colleyville or whatever it was, but was it Flower Mound? that they had the mayor, the flyer mound, the mayor, he said he wanted this to be the 2014 to be the year of the Bible. And I thought, praise the Lord. When I heard this guy do it was on the news, I thought, man, this is great. We got somebody now that believes in Jesus that's in government office. And I thought, wow, we need a lot of us in there. And then over the next couple of days, I was amazed. This is a media for you. Fox News, they didn't have anybody, I'm sure they talked to somebody that said something good about this man, but they didn't have them on the news. They only had those that had something negative to say about him on the news. Now, he's not called to be the spiritual leader of the city. He's called to be a mayor. But you know, let's stop and think about this a minute. What is our number one job is to be a spiritual leader. Now then, if God puts you as a mayor or whatever, you're to do that out of His Word and out of His book. You know, what really breaks my heart is the people that are on there saying bad things. And of course, you know, there was one little 18-year-old girl on there that, you know, you would have thought she was a pro at church and state stuff. And, you know, and she's just at 18. I know how we are when we're 18. When I was 18, I thought I knew everything. And then by the time I got to be 75, I realized when I was 18, I didn't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. You know, I mean, do y'all know what I mean? Have you been there yourself too? You know, we all have. But I just thought, wow, 5 seconds into eternity with all those people, they're going to be screaming, give me another chance, Lord. But there ain't going to be no another chance. That's what breaks my heart, to think that everybody on this earth, and of course the scripture we're going to talk about today covers this really in detail, that the way is narrow that leads into the kingdom, and few there will be that will find it. You know, but the way to destruction is broad, and many find it. And so I just stand in awe of the wickedness that's on television. I mean, there's so many programs that's so wicked. And that's why we as Christians can't watch those. That's why that even I do watch just enough news to try to figure out what's going on in the world. Just I like to stay. For a long time, I didn't even watch the news. For years, I didn't even watch the news. And then a year or two or so ago, I bought me a television and put it in my office so that and just a little antenna that don't cost me nothing. So it'll get a dozen channels or something, six or eight or whatever. I only watch three normally. That's channel 2. Which is Daystar, or channel 58.1 or 58.2. Those are the two, usually the three total that I watch. But once in a while, I watch Fox News, and sometimes I'll watch one of the other news channels. I only get about two or three of those. So, but just to see what's going on in the world. But I will say something. I will say that what is going on in the world is already been written in God's Word. When you see the overall picture of what's going on in the world, with the people getting further and further away from God and all the things that's going on in the world. And if there was ever a time I could tell you as a pastor or whatever you want to call me, as a man of God that stand here, my statement to you is whatever you do, put Jesus first. Really seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because the Master is going to return. And I don't think in the too distant future. He's coming back. And if you're not ready. And of course, the thing about it is, you know, very few people live to be over 100. You know, it's rare that you ever see anybody get to be over 100. You know, when you're 15, you don't think about that. When you're 25, you don't think about that. When you get to be 45 or 50, you think about it a little. You know, wow, I am going to get there. But when you get to be 60 or 70, you think, wow, you know, I am getting up there. And then when you have your 75th birthday, which is what I just had last week, I think 75 years, and who knows, even if I have 25 more. Do you know, I know some of you young people can't even grasp this, but you have no idea how fast 75 years went by. You know, I mean, yesterday I was a 20-year-old kid. You know what I mean, right? And now all of a sudden I'm 75 years old, and I think, wow, where did they go? But the older you get, the faster they go by. And then all of a sudden you think, my goodness, let's see, what was I, 75? And you say, and your wife taps you on the shoulder and says, no, now you're 85. You think, where has the last 10 years gone? You see what I mean, right? But there's going to come a time in all of our life when we're going to go home to be with Jesus. And none of us knows when that is. But I want you to be sure that you've met the requirements, like we're going to go over some of these requirements, what God tells us we can do, what we should do, what we can ask for, and all kinds of things. But we really need to realize if there was ever a time when we have, when we're sitting around doing nothing, instead of just doing nothing, take your owner's manual with you and open it up and read it. You know, the owner's manual is a book for life. And just think, he wrote this love letter to you and me to tell us what he likes and what he doesn't like and what he'll do and what he won't do. And so if you'll get a hold of this, in fact, a while ago, I was just talking to one of the men that comes here. And since he's learned these principles, he said how much fun it is to be able to be out somewhere with people in the workplace or wherever that are lost and something happened. And he says, let me pray for you. And said somebody will have a headache or an arm ache or a backache or whatever and lost. But he said, I've come to realize that those are the easiest kind of people to get healed. Amen. You know, because they're using his faith and not their faith. God uses your faith to do this for people. And it's so much fun when you get to the point where you realize that as a son of God or a daughter of God, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, that he's given you the kingdom. And all the principles of the kingdom belong to you. And you can make those principles work. And so many of us are like I was. I didn't even know there was a kingdom. I didn't know what I could do. But the principles of the kingdom, when I learned what I could do, I'm just like this man I was talking to earlier today, that when he prays for people, especially those that are lost, he sees God instantly take away their back pains, you know, or whatever, or headaches, or all. And of course, I've done those things, and some of you have done those same things. But it is such fun to learn the principles of the kingdom, to realize that your master is with you at all times there to fulfill the principles of the kingdom. Now then, some of us never get to the point where we ever call on him. But anyway, I want us to start out today in Matthew 6, 19. Now we went over some of these things last week. But I want to recap a little. We're not going to go all the way back to the beginning of chapter 6, but I want us to go to verse 19 in chapter 6, and I want us to recap just a little bit here and see what the Lord says, and let's see, and the King James will be okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. Now, I think about us as people, if we're not careful, our goal in life, especially young men, our goal in life is to go to school, get a good education, and get out there and go to work or get in business for yourself and make $1 million for when you get to be 50, you can quit. You know, that's the goal of lots of young men, right? I mean, I would have loved, you know, to have had a goal like that, but we didn't have any money. I was raised up without any, so I didn't know what it was to have money. You know, I was raised up in a little bitty tiny house, you know, out in the country. My dad had a couple of 100 acres of land. We raised a few cows. My dad run some bulldozers and stuff, and we worked. I mean, I worked, but I never had any money. In fact, I remember when I was growing up, one year my dad was going to we had a little bitty 6 foot. Now I realize today that's a tiny little thing, but 50 years ago, this was a pretty nice sized little combine. It was a tractor pull combine that would cut 6 foot at a time. Now compared to going out there with a cutter and cutting it by hand, if you could cut 6 foot, that's some kind of a machine, you know? So my dad wanted me to drive the tractor so he could sit on this little machine and keep it all adjusted so we could cut wheat for people. And so all summer long for 3 months, we cut wheat and combined wheat and put it in the barn for people or sacked it up and put it in the barn. And my dad told me, he said, son, what would you like to have for your work this summer? I said, well, Dad, I'd like to have that Stevens semi-automatic 22 that holds 16 shells that I saw in the hardware store. I'd like to have a 22. He said, okay. It costs $40.50. $40.50. He said, if you'll work with me, and drive that tractor every day, every day except Sunday. We went to church on Sunday, but then Sunday afternoon we'd be back out there combining, but we did go to church on Sunday morning. He said, if you'll drive that tractor, and of course he said, we get out there at daylight. Well, some of y'all don't know what time daylight is in the summertime. But let me tell you, it's pretty early, Tony. You know that? It's pretty early. So you get up early and then stay with me till dark. You know, well, dark's 9 o'clock. So you start out at 5 a.m, you go till 9 p.m. for every day of the week except Sunday. And then Sunday you take off to go to church, and then you go out there and combine till dark. If you'll do that all summer long, he said, I'll buy you that 22. So I did that. I worked, you know, and hard. But, you know, I mean, you talk about a young boy that took care of that. Do you know I still have that gun? I still have that 22. I don't shoot it very often anymore, but I still got that thing because that took 3 months of my life to get that thing. So I still kind of build up that treasure. But he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Because let me tell you, you know, although I still have that gun, I'm still taking good care of it, it still works and everything. What's going to happen to that gun someday? It's going to burn up. Is that right? Did the Lord say everything on this earth is going to burn up someday? So don't get too much of a hold on that gun, because that gun is going to burn up someday. You know, don't get all up in arms about this if something happens to it. And, you know, when you think about thieves breaking in, wow, I think about how many people, if you have something, and a lot of people today are fortunate, they do have something, they've worked hard, they got a good education, and they have built themselves an empire, and they got a nice home. And, you know, if people weren't making money, you know, I have no idea, but if any of you have seen it, just right down the road, right over here on the corner on 407, they're building a new house. Have you saw that house? I mean, when I saw them putting the forms up out there, I drove out there one afternoon, and as an engineer, when I looked at this and I thought, man, this is going to be a house. You know, I mean, wow, is this thing big? You know, now I will have to say that this little 2,000 square feet that I'm adding on for Dave and Ayesha up here on the end of the house, whenever Cheryl come out and looked at the forms, when I had the forms up, she says, why are you building it so little? I said, honey, the forms are deceiving. You know, I said, they look a whole lot smaller than they really are. I said, yeah, it's going to be plenty big. No, that's too, you need to make it this much bigger. I said, no, woman, go to house. I don't need your help. She always wants to be a help like that. And then that's when she's not a help. But, you know, these girls are our helpmate, guys. You know, they try to help us. So anyway, when I finally got the concrete poured and got the steel and everything up, she came out there and she said, my goodness, this is so big. I said, yeah, it's going to give them about 2,000 square feet more than what they've got. That's a pretty nice sized house. You know that? 2,000 square feet. But God has blessed us, you know, and everything. And oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this in too. For the first, I said something about the road. You know, our road's not the best in the world. And sometimes after the rain, it really gets rough. You know, well, of course, I try to grade it with a tractor and everything. But last Sunday, I had someone from the church give a very nice donation to start the road. And I thought, wow, okay, now I'm going to have to start a fund, you know, to build the road. So who knows what's going to happen. But as soon as I get enough money to start on this thing, or actually not start on it, I got to get enough to finish it. I can't just start it. But we will build a fund. And anybody that adds to that fund, we will add it until we get enough money to put that up. And of course, building a road from here down there is expensive. It costs lots of money, but I know God's got lots of money and he can do anything. But hopefully in the not too distant future, in a few months, we'll have enough money together. We'll be able to put a blacktop road down here, just like they got up in Fault Road. That made that really nice when they put that new stuff there. So maybe we'll get the same thing done. But anyway, the Lord can do anything. And so one day we'll have us a nice road there. But anyway, we want to not build our treasures on earth, but in heaven. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, but where thieves do not break in nor steal. You know, it's amazing how as we do build our treasures here on earth, and so many people, if you don't think people build their treasures on earth, you just look around. I know you know this, and some of us have been guilty. You know, I did that same thing. I built this big house over here, but I built it myself. I built it really economical. If you only knew how little it cost me to build that house by building it myself. I didn't have any help. I built that all by myself. Of course, it took me 5 years to build that house. You know, so if you have the knowledge and you can do everything yourself, everything, I mean, if you can lay your foundation, you can pour your slab, you can do the framing, you can do the insulation, you can do the air conditioning, you can do the electrical, the plumbing. In fact, I was in the plumbing store picking up the rough end stuff to do the plumbing for that house over there, and it's got, let's see, I forget now, it's been so many years, I think it's got, let's see, 3, 4, 5 bathrooms, I guess, in the house, and you know, counting the upstairs and the downstairs and everything. I asked a plumber there one day when I was in the store, I said, you know, what does it cost to rough in for three or four bedroom house with 3 bathrooms? And he gave me a number, you know, a big number. And I thought, wow, what I'm saving myself by being able to rough that all in and do that myself. It's just amazing what you can do when you can, you know, why do y'all think the Lord told us, my children, get understanding, get wisdom, get knowledge. It will really benefit you if you do that. Now then, how do you do that? Well, you go to school, or you pay attention. You know, you go look at how somebody else is doing something. You look, you pay attention. But still, if we're not careful, we'll build our treasures on earth. There's a fine line here about building our treasures on earth. And there's not anything wrong with doing things, but don't let things control you. You know, don't get attached to it, because the day's going to come. Sure, I don't even know where we were in the last day or two or three. We were somewhere talking to somebody, and she said something about, ask Thurman how many trucks he has. Was that at the restaurant? I knew somewhere. And she said, how many trucks do you have? I said, well, I'll have to stop and count. I don't really know. And she said, just think, my husband, he has to count to see how many trucks he has. Most people don't have a problem. I don't have a truck, you know, or most people say, yeah, I got one. Some people say, well, it's wore out. But, you know, most people only got one. I got so many trucks and tractors. I don't even know how many tractors I got. You know, every time I need something, God gives it to me. You know, it's just amazing how God has provided everything I need. But, you know, just like the other day with these printers out here, you know, whenever it was Eric, I know it was him. Eric walked into the minister center while Dave's wiring up all these new printers. And he said, you know, the scripture says, the righteous, he shall command the blessings to overtake you. And he said, I am looking at that happen in this ministry. He said, right here, this ministry has been about God's business, doing his work. And when we needed printers, God didn't just give us 2 or 3 like Dave said we needed. He gave us 29 of them. Is that something? 29 printers. And Dave, when Dave came to me and told me he needed a couple of these things, when I said, how much are they? He said, well, around 4,000 to 5,000 each. Well, now then, last time I went to school, 2 of those would be about 10,000 or something like that. Is that right? 9 to 10. Is that the way your math? So whenever Dave prayed and went and looked on the internet and found out U.S. Health downtown Fort Worth was upgrading theirs and selling all their old ones, which is exactly what we wanted, all of them worked perfect. I couldn't believe when he came and said, Pastor, they want to sell us all of them. They don't want to sell 1 or 2. We only need a couple. Really, we can get by with a couple, but they have 29. They want us to take them all. I said, good grief, what do they want for them? He said, $500 for all of them. Not $500 each, $500 for the whole trailer load of them. So we get in our truck, one of our trucks with one of our closed-in trailers. How many trailers do you have? I don't even know that either. I got so many trailers, I don't know how many I got. But I will have to say, we took one of the 20-foot enclosed trailers and we hooked it behind one of those trucks, and we went downtown Fort Worth and we backed into that place there, and they hauled them from the 21st floor, whatever it was, down to us, and we put them all in that trailer, and we filled that trailer completely full of printers, and then we brought them out here and brought them in and set them up and everything. And Dave and Charlie, I mean, Dave's giving Charlie a whole new life. You're learning how to be a printer guy, right, Charlie? I mean, he is printing stuff like crazy. I mean, I walk down that aisle, can't hardly walk through there now, because God has blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. You know, is he awesome? He is awesome. Yes, praise the Lord. But he tells us what to do in the owner's manual. Let's go to the next couple of verses here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now then, if my heart is in him, then that's where my treasure is, right? God knows your heart, and he knows what you're made out of, and he will give you things if when you realize that those things don't have you. You know, whenever you know that that stuff belongs to God. In fact, the thing that I look at now when as older I'm getting, I'm realizing those scriptures that when the earth is mine and the fullness of everything on it belongs to me, that means he's the owner of everything. He lets me have a few things on this earth to be about his business. And if I'm about his business and what he gives me, there's no limit to what he will give me. You know, he'll give me everything my heart desires or everything I need as long as I'm using it for his glory. You know, now if I'm using it for something else, you know, hey, he may not give me very much, you know, and that's really something. And I got tickled. Cheryl and I met a little lady yesterday, and I don't know if this little lady's here today or not. I don't see her, but anyway, we met a little lady downtown, and Lily was barking. Cheryl and Caitlin had went in a store, and Lily was there barking, and you know, this little lady that owned that store, she happened to be out front, and she said, "Is that your guard dog?" You know, Lily weighs about 3 pounds, you know, I said, "Young lady, can you come over here a second?" And so I rolled the window down. She came over and she said, "Yes." I said, "I see on your shirt you have a cross." I says, "Does that mean anything to you, or is it just a shirt you're wearing?" She said, "No, I'm a Christian." I said, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure." I said, "Now that you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you the story about where this dog came from." And I told her the story, and it just amazed her to hear that God had listened to his daughter, Cheryl, and had moved on my heart, to soften my heart, to let her have a puppy. She was so amazed at how that worked. And another lady walked up about that time. She listened to it too. And so I asked her a question after this. I said, "Since you're a Christian," I said, "how's your business?" And she said, "Well, it's not very well." I said, "Well, let me ask you this question." I said, "How much time have you spent with the Master lately?" "Well," she said, "probably not enough." I said, "When's the last time you read the Bible?" She said, "Well, about a month ago." I said, "No, okay, are you married?" "No, no." I said, "Have you been married?" "Yes." I said, "Okay." I said, "So you're made to be the helpmate for a man, your husband," which obviously you didn't understand all the principle because it didn't work out for you. Now you're separated or divorced or whatever she was. I said, "Let me give you an example I think you'll understand." I said, "Let's say that you were married and you and a husband was living in the same house, and you came in every day and you didn't even say hi. You didn't fix him no dinner. You didn't sleep with him or nothing for a whole month." I said, "What kind of a husband do you think you'd have?" She said, "It wouldn't be good." I said, "Okay, young lady, you're pretty smart." I said, "Now I want to tell you, you know why your business is not doing good? You haven't read the Bible in over a month." I said, "So the Master is there wanting to love all over you. He's wanting to tell you things. He's got his owner's manual out there saying, 'My darling, open my word and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not.'" But I says, "You're not taking that time." I said, "You want your business to flourish?" She said, "I do." I said, "I want you to repent right now and tell God how sorry I am that I have not spent any time with him this last month. And when you get home this afternoon, first thing I want you to do is go and sit down and open that Bible and read it for an hour or two." Boy, when that meeting was over, of course, Cheryl come back in a few minutes and we were all talking with her together. She said, "I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit right here where I'm standing." And I thought, isn't that awesome? Isn't that just like our Master to do something good like that? And I guarantee you, when that little gal gets back in the Word and starts spending time in God's Word, he will start blessing her and her business. And as long as she don't forget where it came from, he'll continue to bless her. You agree with that, Mary? See, that you got to spend time with that God, don't we? Yes, we do. And if we will, my goodness gracious, he will do such great and awesome things for us. But he tells us in the owner's manual, he tells us here, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23 and 24. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. Just think, this is why men have to turn off secular television. You can't turn the TV on without seeing lots of flesh. Y'all know where I'm coming from? And I mean, most of the flesh, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal what people do that are, and some of them profess to be Christians. It's just amazing what your eyes, what you have to turn away from. And of course, the thing about it is, when I learned that men with prostate cancer are looking at women where they shouldn't be looking. Do you know that I've learned that's what causes prostate cancer? You know, men that look at women where they shouldn't be looking. You know, when you learn those things, it becomes real easy not to look at that flesh. You know where I'm coming from? It becomes real easy, you know, to not look at it because it ain't worth being sick over. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Wow. How many of you all just like me? You'd like to have a whole lot of money? Would you like to have a whole lot of money? I would. Now then, let me ask you the question. If you had a whole lot of money, and we all know, if you said you wouldn't like to have a lot of money, I believe you're lying. You know? Wouldn't you like to have a lot of money? Yeah. Now then, here's the secret. If God were to give you $1 million, I mean, that some of us, it wouldn't even take $1 million to be a whole lot of money. I mean, somebody come by and handed me $100,000, I'd think I was rich. Wouldn't you? Amen. You know, I mean, I'd think I was rich. I mean, I could handle $100,000, couldn't you? Yeah, absolutely. Now then, the thing about it is, if somebody give you $100,000 or $1 million, depending on what would you do with it? Now, this is where we're going to learn, you know, whether you're good or evil. Because if you say, wow, if I had $100,000, I'd go buy me a new car. Wow. I mean, what kind of car would you buy? Well, gee whiz, since I got $100,000, I'd buy me a new Lexus. They only cost about $80,000. Now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I know you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Is that what they say? Now, see, if you had wisdom of God, you'd say, the first thing I'd do, if God gave me $100,000, the first thing I'd do, I'd give him $15,000 of it. That's the first thing I'd do. I'd give God. Somebody said, but that's more than a tithe. I know he said give tithes and offerings. So I'm going to give my $10,000 and my $5,000 offering right up front. So that money is not going to be under a curse. Do you know that money's going to be cursed? If you don't tithe off of that money, it's amazing what will happen. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You can take a car. And I remember I bought an Oldsmobile years ago. This lady was supposedly a Christian. She bought the car brand new. She drove it 50,000 miles. It had 56,000, I think, when I bought it. 50,000, it was a, oh gosh, this was way back yonder. It's been many, many years ago. But it was a really beautiful car when I bought it. When I bought it with 56,000 miles on it, buying it brand new, she had just put a brand new set of tires on it, put a new set of brakes on it, had to replace all the calipers because they was bad, had to replace the air conditioning compressor and a complete part of the complete air conditioning system. All that within 56,000 miles. Now, Mike, as a mechanic, you know that ain't the way it's supposed to be, right? That's not good. If all that goes bad, so I buy the car for a very reasonable price, which she had just spent all this money having everything put on it. The original air conditioning system only lasted 50-something thousand miles. I bought the car. I was walking in obedience to God's word. I drove the car 150,000 miles and never did replace the air conditioning compressor again. Now, somebody said, well, you were just lucky. No, there ain't no luck to it. I was putting God first. I was using this thing for the kingdom of God, and I was blessing the Lord with it. I was going places and visiting people and ministering to people using that car for the glory of God. And I mean, she was a little lady that drove it from where she lived to Dallas every 5 days a week, wore a complete set of brakes out on that thing in 50,000 miles. She had a new set put on it, and I drove them 150,000 miles and never had them replaced again. What makes the difference? It depends on what you're using it for. It depends on whether you're under a curse or whether you're under the blessings. If you're under the blessings of God, God will make that car last much longer than he will for somebody that don't use it for his glory. So if you come into a lot of money, if you say, I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to give God offerings. That's the number one thing I'm going to do with it. Then that money that you've got left is blessed by God and not cursed. So then you say, well, I need a nice car. But you know, I can buy me a really nice little Chevrolet, for $20,000, you can buy a brand new one. You know, something that'll haul your body around that gets 30 miles to the gallon on gas. But that's not what some people will do. Some people say, well, I'm going to spend $80,000 and now I got $20,000 left. Well, I could pay that on my house because I've got a $250,000 note on my house. Wow, $250,000 note on your house? How big is your house? Well, it's 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, you know, and how many lives there? Just me. Do you see any sense in this? Where are we building our treasures? Here on earth. You know, I mean, you know, when somebody says something, oh, yeah, look at me. I got this big, nice, beautiful house. I got 4 bedrooms, you know, and this is really nice, you know, and all this stuff. I got 4 bedrooms and 3 baths and a swimming pool out back and all this stuff. Hey, it's amazing where we build our treasures. But the Lord tells us what to do here. No man can serve 2 masters. You cannot serve God and money. If you're serving God, you can have all the money in the world, because if you're really putting God first, it makes no difference how much money you have. It will not ever have you. And do you know the difference? If the money has you, you're going to do stupid things with that money. If you have God and God's in control of your life, then you'll use that money for His glory. If you want to ruin somebody, just give them a lot of money. Especially give somebody a lot of money that has never had money. You know, you really want to ruin somebody, just give that person that does not have money. If you were to come into an enormous amount of money and you say, okay, I'm going to give somebody $100,000. They ain't never had nothing in their life. You give them a full $100,000, you're going to ruin them. First of all, they won't tithe off of it. It'll put them and that money under a curse, and it will not bless them or nobody else. My sister asked me a question years ago when we were talking, and we were talking about, at the time, the government was talking about how they'd like to, not just the government, but several people in the news media and everything else. This has been 25 years ago. They were talking about what they would like to do. They would like to take all the money in the world and split it up equally so we could all be equal. My sister, which is 9 years older than me, she has a lot of wisdom. She said, Thurman, if you were to take up every dollar in the world and split it exactly equal between every human being on the earth, she said, in 5 to 10 years, those that have it now will have it again. Those that don't have it would not have it again. And I thought to myself, I believe that. I believe that. Because people don't know how to serve God. They don't know how to handle money. We have everything in high school and colleges except how to handle money. So nobody learns. There's only one place I've found that'll teach you how to manage your money. And you know what book that is? The Word of God. That's exactly right. Now 25 and 26. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you or put on your body. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Next verse. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit to his stature or his life? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29 and 30. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these little flowers. Now, can you imagine the clothes that the people wore in King Solomon's castle? The man that had everything covered with gold and diamonds and ivory, the man that had more money. In fact, you know, when God came to Solomon, he said, I'm going to make you king. Now I want to know what you want. And Solomon was a little guy with wisdom. He said, Lord, I am just a mere child. I want wisdom to know how to rule your people. That's all I want. And God says, Solomon, because you did not ask for money and power, but wisdom to rule my people, I'm going to give you that wisdom. No man on earth ever before or ever again will ever have the kind of wisdom I'm going to put in you. But he says, also, since you didn't ask for money and power, I'm going to make you the most powerful king, and I'm going to bless you with the most money. You'll be the richest man on earth. Wow. Now then, if you read some of the books that Solomon wrote, you'll realize that with all this money and all this power in his later life, he's thinking, what do I do with all this stuff? Everything I've worked for and built, what am I going to use it for? What am I going to do with it? Who am I going to leave it with? Who's going to take care of it? Is that kind of the way it is? You know, you live all your life building your treasures on earth, and maybe you do have a beautiful house, maybe a nice car, two or three or whatever, and you got all this money and you got land maybe and everything else. And then one day, maybe you've raised three or four children, and then one day you die and you didn't teach them children the principles of the kingdom. You know who's going to wind up with everything you had? Lawyers and the government. Guarantee it. You'll lose everything because your children will get to fighting over it and they'll get attorneys. And that's what never ceases to amaze me. I saw a little deal on the news the other night about, in fact, no, I think it was on, it wasn't on the news, it was on TBN, I think, about the divorce in America and how much money that costs people for divorces and how they lose their homes, what they've worked for all their life. And then they get into a little squabble and they can't, instead of forgiving each other like the Lord says and walk in love, you know, they lose everything. They go to fighting over it and they lose everything. And, you know, as I saw that last week, and then as I was laying there the other night meditating on the Word of God, after New Year's night, New Year's Eve, when I thought about the beautiful dinner we had and how we all walked in love with each other, how everybody at this ministry loves each other, I thought to myself, this is just a little picture of how the kingdom's going to be when we all get home. You know, we're going to all walk in love with each other, just like Dave. Dave has learned the hard way to love his mother-in-law. He's learned. I guarantee you. If you ask Dave, Dave, you're going to love your mother-in-law? You know what he's going to say?
Oh, yeah.
He's learned there's a consequence, and he don't like them. But, you know, we're all learning that same principle the same way. You know, but some of us never get a hold of it. We don't understand what's causing our problems, but it's because we got out of our love walk. And when you get out of your love walk, God can completely break you. You know, I mean, you can take everything that you've spent your life for building your empire, and then you can spend it trying to get your health back after you've been made sick with cancer or whatever. Is that right, Gracie? I mean, how many people have you seen in your life that have done that very thing? Worked from can to can to get to a certain place, to be big and powerful and, you know, have lots of money, and then they come down with something sick, some sickness, and they spend everything they've made to try to get well. Is that right? And some of them don't get well. And they don't understand where it comes from or how to get well, do they, Mike? No? But see, if you study the Word, then, you know, you can have everything. God can bless you. And you can come along, you can have money, you can have houses, as long as you use it for the glory of God. He don't mind you having good things. He wants you to be blessed. He really wants you to be blessed. And he tells us in this owner's manual how God clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Boy, that's something we don't have much of, I will have to say. 31:32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, that you have need of all these things. He knows what you have need of even before you ask him. He knows everything. The next two verses. But seek ye first. Now, this is the part out of this chapter I want you really to think about. What does he say do first? Seek ye first the kingdom. And then all these things, is that what he said? And all these things that your heart desires will be added unto you. In other words, if we put God first, if we literally seek him first, and his righteousness, his holiness, he promises us in his owner's manual that there's nothing He will withhold from us. Is that right? He'll meet every need we have. Somebody says, you know, well, I want this and I want this and I want a new Lexus and I want a new $500,000 house. Hey, He didn't say He'd do that. He said He'd meet your need. He didn't say you had to have a $500,000 house to live in. I will have to say, this little house that I built, Cheryl and I, after God brought us together, this little house that's behind the ministry center right here, it's only one bedroom, one bathroom, and two closets. And of course, a big living area, you might say. But that little house cost me a whole sum of $35,000 to build it. $35,000. But you know, I can lay there in my bed at night and think, you know, I don't have no note on this place. This thing's paid for. I didn't have to work too terribly hard to pay off a $35,000 bill. You know, of course, I built it over about a year, whatever. But as I made a little money, I spent it. And of course, I had some money anyway. But I built, Cheryl and I, a nice little one bedroom. I mean, after all, we do have some bedrooms upstairs that we always, somebody's in them. But at one time, there was not anybody in there. So one day I told her, I said, you know, it's really hot. And I think I'm just going to go upstairs and take a shower up there where I got really cold water, you know. And I said, in fact, I might just sleep up there tonight. She said, well, if you're going to go up there and sleep up there, you might as well just stay up there. She said, are you married to me or not? I said, yes, I am. She said, well, I want you to sleep with me. See, she didn't want me to even spend one night up there. Not one. She wanted me to spend the night with her because she's my wife. She loves it when I lay down beside her and put my arm around her. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. She can, in fact, be sleeping on her side, and I can reach her and put my arm around her. She'll just snuggle up against me. You know, so nice to have a loving wife that loves you, that wants to be close to you, you know, that's not sleeping on the other side of the room or getting upset or getting all upset. I just stand in awe at us as human beings and what we do that's wrong. You know, how we don't do what God says. You know, it's just so amazing. But He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is there plenty of evil? Yeah, it's everywhere. Wow. Now let's go to Matthew 7:7 and on. Start with verse 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And I want you to look at this. Now, this is in the owner's manual. This is not something that I'm talking about or saying. I'm going to read this right out of your Bible. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, if you're reading a book that's written by God to you, what did He say you could ask for? Isn't that something? You know, that, I mean, this is not some book that I wrote, right? This book, God wrote this book, where He says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, I remember the night, or actually the afternoon, that I went up to pray for Philip Wren, this little 11-year-old boy that had hundreds of warts all over his body. I mean, he had warts everywhere. He looked so awful. And he hated himself. And of course, they had burned two big rows of warts off the back of his hand. And in those big old scars where they burnt those off, the warts came right back in the scars, and they were awful looking things. And Philip hated himself. And so I took all these scriptures, I read all these scriptures to Philip that day and his mom and dad. Then when I took Matthew 18:19, one of the promises of the kingdom, and we knelt there on the floor and prayed and asked God to take off the warts and the scars and thanked Him for doing it. When we stood up, his mother says, when are they going to come off? Now, in that little message we just read there, did He tell you when He would do it? No, He did not tell you when. He just said, if you stand in faith, you will receive. Is that what He said? So see, I had to tell Philip's mother that day, you know, I don't know when they're going to come off. God doesn't tell me when the warts are going to come off. He just told me to ask and we would receive. Is that what He said? Amen. It will be ours. So I said, I don't know how long it's going to take. I said, but you have to stay in faith, believing it is already done. We have asked, we have praised Him, we stand on His word, because look what He said. Ask and you might receive. He didn't say that, did He? He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I didn't see anywhere in any of those things that He said maybe. Did you? He said it will happen. But you know that when we stand on His word, we have to stand in faith, nothing wavering, right? Just like I told them that day. I said, now I don't know when these warts and scars are going to come off. I just know they will because God made me the promise. I said, it may take a day. It may take a week. It may take a month. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I guarantee you on the word of the living God that I just read, they will come off. Now then, I've had lots of people say, how in the world can you guarantee something like that? Well, let me tell you what, if I can't guarantee God's word, I'm in trouble. You know that? But now when I guarantee your word, His word to you, what do you have to do with that? You have to believe it. You have to believe it with no doubt in your heart. And of course, the next morning, you know, it's when we don't see it happen in the next day or two or week or month, like Dave, you know, it took us so long to get Dave healed the first time, 20 months. You know, when you're fighting a battle like that, sometimes you get just like Dave did. You know, I mean, at a year, Dave walked up to me that Sunday and he said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. I mean, he still looked awful. He really looked awful. I told him, Dave, repent. I said, there's only one thing makes God's word fail, and that's you. I said, His word cannot fail unless you get into unbelief with it. When you get into unbelief, I said, then it won't work. So he's come back and repented and kept standing. And of course, he did get healed. But see, Dave knows that when you get out of a love walk with your mother-in-law, it has terrible consequences because he's been there and done that a couple of times. But I think by now, it's a whole lot easier to love her now, isn't it, Dave? Amen. Amen. Because guess who don't like to be sick? Dave don't like to be sick. And guess who likes his prayers to work when he prays for his children? Dave. Just like all the rest of us. Now, if he's not walking in love with that mother-in-law, he could not have done what he done for the little Joshua. Yeah, he could not have done that. God would not have honored his request if he ain't walking in love. But when a man's walking in love, he can pray that prayer and do what he did and see the Master do exactly what he told us in his word. Isn't this awesome that God would make these kind of promises for us? For some of you that ask, for how many? For everyone that asks, you shall receive. And he that seeketh shall find, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. So that kind of goes along. Let me ask this question. How many of you know what 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says? For how many?
Yes, for all.
For all of the promises of God. Or yes and amen. Now, if we know those scriptures, Mary, and we're wanting something from God, and we really know His word, can we stand on His word with those? Yes, we can. And can we see God answer our prayer?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Now then, maybe He don't do it as quick as He did it for little Joshua, you know, but if He doesn't have to do it that way at every time, does it? But He will do it, right? If you stay in faith, you will receive your promise. You will receive your answer. Verse 9 and 10. Then he gives us a tremendous example here. What man is there of you who, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will you give him a serpent? You know, I've seen some rotten daddies in my life, but I don't think I've ever seen one that rotten. Have you? That if son says, Dad, I need a piece of bread, he'd hand him a rock. I've seen some rotten guys, but I haven't seen one quite that bad, I don't think. Jesus was trying to tell us, verse 11 and 12, if you then, being evil, now is he right saying we're evil? We really are. Compared to him, we are all evil. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? So when we read this owner's manual and the secret, what was the secret a while ago to make all this work? Seek ye what? First the what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God and His righteousness. So how are you going to do that? You're going to take the Word. You're going to get in the Word. You're going to read the Word. You're going to read it over and over. You're going to pray over it and everything else. And you're going to let the Master talk to you out of the book. Will He do that? Yes, He will. He will talk to you out of the book. And so as He talks to you out of the book, then He will tell you things to do and things not to do. And if you obey what He says, then there is absolutely nothing He will withhold from His righteous children. Now then, if you're doing something wrong and He tells you to do something and you think, uh-oh, I don't like that part right there, I'm going to cut that page out. A lot of people do that. You know that? A lot of people, when He tells them to do something, they don't like that. They just don't want to do that. You know, no, I can't do that. Honor your parents. Is that what He said? What if you think that, say you're, give you an example. Say that your dad bought you a nice car, and you went out and looked at this nice car, and you said, well, and you called him a nasty name, you old so-and-so, you. Is that all you could get me? What would you do? If you were the dad, you just bought this son or daughter of yours a car, and maybe a $10,000-$20,000 car, and you showed it to them thinking they're going to be very glad, and they call you a nasty name and say, is that all you could afford? I wanted something better than that. You know what? That child would be walking for a long time if they lived in my house. I'm kind of like the guy one time that told his son, he says, son, you can drive the car only if you get your hair cut. You got to have your hair cut and look like a man. And so the boy wouldn't get his hair cut. And so he just kept wearing the long hair. And he come in one day and he said, son, you're going to get the haircut. If you don't get a haircut, you can't drive the car. He said, Dad, look. He said, Jesus had long hair. He said, yeah, I know He did. But said He walked everywhere He went, too. That's one way of looking at it, right? Jesus did walk everywhere He went. There was no cars back then. But when I heard that guy tell that story, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But I mean, the dad didn't even flinch. He said, yeah, but Jesus walked everywhere He went, too. I thought, well, he's right, 100%. Jesus did walk everywhere He went. So if you are the dad, and you, who should make the rules in your house? Dad. Dad should make the rules. That's right. You know, I mean, I was thinking about yesterday when I'm in and out of the shop out there where Dave's working on his mobile home or travel trailer. I was so amazed. I thought, look at the patience of this man with his children. He's over there showing his two sons, which are just little bitty guys. He's over there showing both of them how to run a saw, how to put it in there, how to clamp thing. And I'm listening as I go by and I'm thinking, when my kids were that big, I told them, go to the house. I'd take care of it. I ain't got time to mess with you. I thought, what a difference between Dave and me. I mean, here he is training his from this age. And maybe that's why he's got those that can say, what do you want? Dad, I want the blood to stop immediately. I tell you what, you got to start early to have children the size of Joshua to have that kind of faith. I'm telling you. But Dave's done a great job with his kids, I will have to say, a great job. We all need to take that as an example, that's for sure. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I mean, it kind of reads like this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that right? So why don't we do that? I think we need to start practicing that, really start practicing that, because I am so convinced that the Master is going to return in the not too distant future, that I don't want to be caught doing something that's wrong when He comes back. Can you imagine if Jesus were to come back and take you home, and the minute He took you home, you happened to be having a knockdown dragout with your spouse? When the Lord come back and tuck you away, and somebody says, oh, what were you doing when the Lord come? Oh, I was having a fuss with my wife. Can you imagine having to tell that for eternity? Would that be awful or would that be awful? Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be hugging her, giving her a good kiss when somebody says, what were you doing when the Lord come? I said, well, I was holding my bride in my arms, giving her a kiss. I mean, wow, I was holding her close. I'd much rather have that, wouldn't you, Eric? Yeah, I don't want to have one. I'm having a knockdown drag out. Wow. I just stand in awe of what I see young couples, or people, old and young, how they do these kind of things. And they have no idea that there's no guarantee for one more heartbeat. You don't know that. I mean, you know, we live like, hey, I'm going to live forever. In fact, most of you today are just like me. When you got up this morning, most of us didn't say, thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day or this beautiful night's sleep. Some of us did because we plan to live all day today. We plan to come back, go back to bed tonight at some time and get up tomorrow and go to work. And maybe some of us may not even think about Jesus, may not even think about Him. But don't do that. You know, make sure that you start thinking about Him, spending time with Him, because what if He did come for you today? Is there anything you would change if you knew He was coming today? In fact, I will say one time, I said something to my wife years ago, to Betty. I didn't know it offended her, but it did. I mean, you know, I didn't know. She didn't tell me, so whatever I said, and I don't have a clue what I said now. It's been too many years ago. But we go through, she's in a Sunday school class with us every Sunday and everything. And then I finally got revelation on Matthew 18, 21 through 35 about unforgiveness. So after I finally got that revelation, I taught that in my Sunday school class about how God, the Father, would send a tormenting spirit to torment you and your children if you did not forgive everybody from your heart. Boy, let me tell you, that Sunday afternoon when we got home from church, she caught me into the kitchen and she said, just me and her, and she said, honey, several years ago you said something at this. Do you remember it? I said, no, I don't remember that at all. She said, well, that greatly offended me when you said that. And she said, I have held a grudge against you for that all these years. But after what I heard you teach this morning, I'm going to ask God to forgive me and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. Because see, she realized there was a consequence to holding a grudge. And you know what the consequence, what the ultimate could be? Not getting to go to heaven. Now, is there anybody in this world that you got a grudge against worth missing heaven for? I would hope not. Nothing. I mean, but am I telling you the truth? Did Jesus say, if you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you? Is that what He said? So, you know, it's scary, isn't it? He gave us this book, and you have to be very careful because you have to listen to the book. And some people, maybe they're like I was, until I got that revelation. I had been a Sunday school teacher and a deacon for years in a Baptist church, but I didn't know at that time, I had no idea that God, the Father, would send a tormenting spirit to torment us if we held a grudge against somebody. I didn't know that. But after I learned that, wow, made it real easy for me to walk in love with everybody. I don't care what you say to me, I'm going to love you. Maybe that's why we all get along so well out here. We all know that. And we don't want to be tormented by an evil spirit, do we? Not at all. Yeah, praise the Lord. Wow, not at all. Verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. Now, you know, we just heard Howard Pittman recently. Does anybody remember how many people he said went to heaven? 2.5%. Is that what he said? So where did the 97.5% wind up? In hell. Now, just like this scripture confirms this. It says, narrow is the way that leads. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now then, if that scripture is true, and it's got to be, because it's God's word, then out of the people on this earth, I never would have had a guess. If you'd asked me before I heard Howard Pittman say it with his experience of God, what do you think that means? What percentage do you think is going to find the narrow path? You know, I'd have probably looked at it and said, well, at least 25% or 30%, at least. You know, but when he told us 2.5%, of course, I stop now and I look that just here in America. Now, in America, used to, I thought everybody believed in Jesus. But now I'm beginning to understand they don't. There's a whole lot of people don't believe in Jesus, and they don't believe in Jesus because we are not doing a very good job of telling them about Jesus with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, when you pray for someone and they get healed, In fact, just like yesterday when Cheryl and I was talking to that little lady, she was already a Christian. We just told her the simple little story about Jenna and about Lily. And of course, about my granddaughter. My granddaughter was sitting in the back seat. I told her, I said, this little girl here, I said, you know, she's 16 now, or going to be in just a few days, January the 12th. Yeah, January the 12th. She'll be 16 years old. I said, when she was 13 years ago, she was killed in a car wreck. Her brainstem was severed. Her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her skull was crushed in five places. Every organ in her body was damaged. Her right knee was crushed. Her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And three of the best doctors in the world told me, it's over. It's over. As soon as we pull the life support, she's going to decease. And I said, oh no, I got the word of God. I'm a member of the kingdom. Jesus made me an awesome promise in John 15:7. And if you hadn't seen John 15:7 lately, let me bring it up and let you look at it. Look at what John 15:7 says. Now then, you notice it has a requirement. John 15:7. Look at this. Now I'm one of those that wants to enter in at the narrow gate. I'm going to be there. John 15:7. Look at that. The biggest word in God's word is the very first word in that. If. That's it. If you abide in Jesus and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What kind of a promise is that? That is an awesome promise, isn't it? What can you do with that word, with that verse? Think about that, huh? What could we do with that verse, Tony? That's what the Master said, wasn't it? If we believe His word and we've read the owner's manual. Now see, this is the secret. You got to read the owner's manual, don't you, Mike? Now, if you've read this a few hundred times and all these promises are there and they know they belong to you, when you come to a time of need, like I did back there, I can call upon Him and His word because I don't have time to get faith now. If I don't already have it, it's over. But if I know that verse and I can call on the Master, 13 years later, I can have a 16-year-old granddaughter sitting in the back seat. Yeah, and yesterday after we got home, Cheryl and her and I don't know, anybody else? Just you and Cheryl. Just you, I mean, and Caitlin. They went out here and they done something that we've not done yet. They went out here, and of course they've done a lot of riding out here in the lot, you know, but we've got a great big lot out here for the horses can't go. And the ones that are not being ridden are not in there with them. They're out in the pasture. But yesterday, Cheryl and Caitlin took their horses and they saddled them up and they went on their first trail ride out in the pasture. Well, they forgot all them other horses are out there too. Oh, they didn't forget. They knew they're out there. But those other horses, when they're out there riding, guess what they want to do? They want to run. And so they run, and when they run by, guess what their horses want to do? Want to go with them. And so we had a little bit of excitement for a few minutes. Yeah, it's Caitlin's horse, and she's got a nice, big, beautiful mare. But boy, when those other horses took off, she wanted to go with her. So, man, she's running for the first time ever. She's got to run. And Cheryl was right by. So it was quite interesting to see these girls and their horses running all over the pasture out there. They were running up and down the runway something less than 100 miles an hour. But Cheryl screaming at her, pull her back, make her stop. And she did. And she did. And she stopped her. You know, but it's always exciting. Like the other day we were out there and some of y'all know this, some of you don't know this, but little John, Dave's and Yosha's oldest boy, grandma bought him a little electric motor bike for Christmas. That's what he wanted, and so that's what grandma bought him. And so he also not only got the motorcycle, it's totally silent, it makes no noise, it's electric, so it makes absolutely no noise, but he got a suit to wear with it. He got gloves that's colorful to wear with it. He got pads to go on his elbows, pads on his knees. I mean, he's got a helmet that goes on with big old orange goggles, you know, that goes on it. And he looks like a Martian. You know, when he gets all outfitted in this thing, he looks like a Martian. Well, the other day, we were out there all riding the horse. I'm out in the lot with the horses, and Cheryl wasn't there. You weren't. She was behind the building. That's right. She was around her getting another one ready. And all of a sudden, Evelyn, she comes down leading Smokey. He's the gentlest old horse we got. And she's got a rope on him. And, he's just walking along or just like this, you know, he's 20 years old and 20 something years old. Anyway, he's walking along there just as gentle as he could be. And in spirit, this big white horse, my grandson's, he is leading him with his little daughter, with his sister riding her. And of course, she's only four. So the five, okay, five. So Preston is leading Spirit. And as they come around the corner together like this, and they're there, little John rides up right here on his motorcycle. And when the horses see this Martian, they ain't never seen nothing like this in their life. And Smokey jerks Evelyn down, starts dragging her backwards as he's trying to go backwards. And Spirit, he runs over Preston. I mean, steps on his head. You know, I mean, he runs over him and heads off. And man, I run to try to grab him. And he runs to the fence over there. And the fence is right there. Praise God, there was a fence there. When he saw that fence, he just dug in his slit about 3 or 4 feet. And my little granddaughter just went right over the top, just airborne, hit the ground like that. And it was sliding right up against the fence. And of course, I ran over there and grabbed her and picked her up, you know. And praise God that their bones are pliable, you know. And so she was okay, but she was scared. So she cried a little bit, but she was okay. So we got the trainer out here a few days later and got little John in the lot down there with the horses and rode that little motorcycle all around and rode him up and patted him on the nose with his helmet on where they now know who he is. You kind of get to where you know these horses got to know what's going on, you know. When I mean, have any of y'all ever seen one of these old movies, you know, whenever way back when the Model T's first come out and here's a team of horses coming down the road, somebody comes around the corner in a Model T, what happened to the horses? They bucked and run, and I mean, you've seen those movies, right? Yeah. So see, that's the way horses are. They're okay with anything they feel comfortable with, but if there's something new, they don't make it. And that's kind of the way we are with the Word of God. You know, when you start telling people about these wonderful principles and about how God can heal you, and all, if you've never known that, never walked in that, you're kind of want to back up. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. People think you're a weirdo. I mean, just like those horses thought John was a weirdo. But they found out underneath he wasn't a weirdo. It was that same little boy underneath there. But they couldn't see him through all that stuff. He was dressed in something that they didn't recognize. Now they're okay with it after the other day when I was so tickled to John. He's in a lot with them. He's riding around them, you know, and everyone, he just pulled right up to one of them. The trainer would be there with him. Pull the motorcycle right up and just reach up and pet him on the nose, you know, and the horse kind of looking, who is this, you know? But you know, after he pet him a few times, he got okay. Now then, what happens to us when we begin to get in the Word and really begin to see the principles of the kingdom, all of a sudden you're not afraid of it no more, right? You're not afraid to pray. You stand on God's promises. And when He shows up, what does it do to you? It changes the way you do business forever. Changes the way you pray for people. Changes the way you do things, everything. Now then, He said that if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now then, is that a great and awesome promise? Who did He make that promise to? All of His children. If you're one of His children, you can make that promise work for you. It really can. So, what's the first thing we're supposed to seek? The Lord, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then if we seek Him and His righteousness, then what's going to be added to us? He's not going to leave out nothing, is He? Everything we need will be added unto us. So don't you like that when God makes a promise? So why do I go out and try to get everything? Why don't I just let God bring it to me? So all I got to do is seek Him and His righteousness and then just stand back and wait on the Lord, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You that You're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. We thank You for this owner's manual, Lord, that You've given us, where You told us to ask, seek, knock, and it will be opened unto us. Every time, Lord, if we'll walk in obedience to Your word, we can ask You for anything, and You will do these great and wonderful things as long as we're doing it according to the owner's manual, according to Your will. And Lord, I praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.